We're speaking with Professor Dorsetta Taylor at the School of Natural Resources and Environment at the University of Michigan. She's part of a five-year federal study on food insecurity in Michigan. And Professor Taylor, what do we mean by the term food insecurity?
By food insecurity, we mean that not everyone is able to get all their basic food needs met. And so that can be financial. They might not have enough money to purchase food. It can also be access to healthy food. So they might be purchasing food, but the food is not fresh or healthy. It can also be psychological or physical. They might not live close enough to a place where they can actually get to buy food. So there are a number of dimensions to it. They might not also be able to get all of their food needs met, so they might have to skip meals because they simply don't have enough food to go through like a week or a month.
There's a term out there, food desert. Is that what we're talking about here?
The term food desert, it's been widely used to describe areas where there are no grocery stores or supermarkets or food outlets in general that are carrying like fresh fruits, vegetables, etc. So one dimension of food insecurity can be living in what's commonly described as a food desert. If we're talking about an urban area, that would mean a neighborhood where people can't find any such places within a mile of where they live. If we're talking about rural communities, it's usually having to drive more than 10 miles to get to the closest place with fresh fruits or vegetables. Not everyone likes the term food desert, because some people argue that it implies that there's absolutely nothing there, and that's really not the case. There are food outlets. It's a matter of when you go to the outlets that are there, what is available for you to purchase? Is it more expensive than if you were in a neighborhood with a lot of food choices?
Like a party store or a liquor store?
Yes. So in some neighborhoods, and we commonly find these Detroit, parts of Flint, parts of, say, Benton Harbor. So within Michigan, there are places where when you look at what's available to folks, it is a party store, liquor store, pharmacy, gas station, dollar store that they tend to purchase most of their foods. And the problems that arise with that is the foods that are sold in such places tend to be very highly processed. They have high calorie content, tend to be salty, and they tend actually to be more expensive than if you go to a large grocery store for them.
I've heard you say elsewhere that 59% of people in Michigan have some form of food insecurity. That's a really astounding number. How did it get that high?
Combine all the dimensions of food insecurity, i.e., are you close enough to a store? So if you look at many parts of rural Michigan, for instance, we have part of our study is up in Sault Ste. Marie, and our colleague up there at Lake State University, they often say people have to drive long distances to get to a large enough store where they can purchase fresh fruits and vegetables. So distance, if you look at distance, is one dimension of it. If you look at the fact that some people just don't have enough money to buy food or they have to skip meals. So in Michigan, because of the high levels of unemployment, the rising levels of poverty, we have seen that spike in the state, because some people simply just don't have enough money to buy the foods that they need.
There's been a resurgence in interest around the country in urban areas and what's usually referred to as urban farming, which typically involves gardening but can include things like raising animals, and that leads to some other issues. What role do you think that urban farming could play in helping to address this issue?
We do believe that urban farming does have some potential to help, as we are looking at many neighborhoods, Grand Rapids, parts of Flint, Detroit, where farmers are doing amazing stuff in terms of getting food to communities. So if we're just looking at simply like a backyard plot, that helps a family to cut down. Growing Hope, for instance, in Ypsilanti, they've been doing some tracking, and they've found that a family can subsidize their food budget by about $150 to $180 by growing their own food over the summer. If you take that up on a larger scale, where many of the urban farms are between 2 to 10 acres, they have the ability, therefore, to help reduce food insecurity by producing a fair amount of food that that local communities need. It's not the total panacea or the be-all and end-all, but it certainly can be an important part of getting people access to fresh fruits and vegetables and basically supplementing their food budgets.
Do you think that local governments, cities, and townships can do more to make it easier to engage in this sort of thing?
Yes, they can, because many of the laws that govern cities, actually, if you think about it, are laws that were put in to separate farming from urban living. So things like making it illegal to have hoop houses make it very difficult for families or small-scale farmers to operate within the city. Just the challenge of getting water to your farm is a big issue for many urban farmers. So one of the things I think cities, municipalities, and it's not just in Michigan, all around the country, have to really start to rethink how they zoned, how does zoning either encourage or discourage urban farming. And so so that rethinking has already started to occur as people are realizing that some level of farming can occur, especially if it's organic, it's using recycled material. Some of that is quite compatible with urban living. In many places, if we look at something like Growing Hope in Ypsilanti, their urban farm was put in a neighborhood with a lot of dilapidated housing. And since that farm has been there, it's really helped to stabilize the neighborhood. It's become a gathering center. We see some of that also in East Lansing. But when we get to the question of farm animals, that really does raise other more challenging issues like noise, smell, that neighbors that are close to an urban farm might not necessarily feel comfortable with some of that. So that, I think, is a discussion that cities will have to engage in as we move forward with how urban land is being redefined and used.
Tell us a little bit about this five-year study that you're involved in that's supported by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. You and your colleagues elsewhere in the state are studying a number of communities, including Holland and Benton Harbor here in southwest Michigan. What's the ultimate goal of the study?
Yes, it's a five-year study, and we haven't yet completed the first year, so we're still in the process of defining what's possible. But the main goals of the study was to look at cities in southeastern, western, central, and Michigan and the Upper Peninsula to identify what are the factors that are driving food insecurity in Michigan. Secondly, we wanted to find out what are the ways in which we can help to reduce that by getting families that are most vulnerable, families and people that are most vulnerable of falling into food insecurity, how can we help in helping them both produce some of their own food, but to get greater access to stores and places that are selling fresh foods, local foods, at a reasonable price. Another dimension of that study is to work with farmers. So study what's going on within the farming sector to find out why is it that Michigan, that's such a great agricultural state, what are the barriers to getting those foods into local food outlets? So, for instance, if gas stations and pharmacies and corner stores are the only places that people have, why can't we get some of those fresh fruits and vegetables into those places so that there's better access and at an affordable price? So we're studying farmers to find out what's preventing them from getting more of their food to Michigan residents. We're also looking at policymakers. What are the kinds of policies that are happening in the state of Michigan? For instance, the policy where Whole Foods and Meijer just opened new stores in Detroit and they got really good tax incentives to do so. We want to see, is that the way to go? Is that an effective way to deal with food insecurity? Are people in Detroit, the poor people who lack access to food, are they able to go to the Whole Foods and purchase food? So we want to look into those kinds of things. And a final dimension of this is also our colleagues in Grand Rapids, they're taking the lead on this part of the study, where they are working with local soup kitchens and other community service organizations to identify particularly women who are both low income and at risk for food insecurity, to help them understand healthy eating habits. So in addition to helping them garden, and we're providing funding for several organizations, community organizations, to help families start their gardens, educate them about the gardens. We're studying exercise and diet to see if when families switch to a healthier food eating situation, how does that affect their exercise level and diet level. So we're doing a number of interesting things, and we're hoping that with our study, typically what we find in studies of food access, people go and search for, are there in the big supermarkets like Meijer, Kroger, Whole Foods? And if they don't find those big supermarkets, they immediately label the community a food desert. We're looking at something much more complicated, and we're hoping to do what we call a neighborhood food access index that shows that even some very small stores, they might be physically small, they might look like just a corner store from the outside, but when you get inside, you'll find a lot of fruits, lots of vegetables packed into a small space. So we're hoping that with this study in Michigan, we create a new dialogue around the whole idea of food deserts and find more realistic ways of measuring what's a community's access to food, as opposed to just looking for big supermarkets. If they're not there, then you have a food desert. We think there's something much more complicated happening, and we want to use Michigan as a state in which we study this and show this on multiple dimensions.
As in most areas with food, there is a political dimension, and recently there's been debate about the program that is usually called food stamps, more properly called the SNAP program, and funding for that through Congress. How crucial are food assistance programs, whether the federal program or more localized efforts? How important do you think they are to addressing food insecurity?
They are extremely important in every state, because the largest dollars that are going for assisting people with getting access to food comes through the SNAP program. And people have raised the question, why worry about organic fruits and vegetables, locally grown fruits and vegetables? Are folks who are on SNAP, are they going to purchase those kinds of foods? And the answer is actually yes. Again, in the state of Michigan, studies have been done, Wayne State, they have done some studies that show that if you do produce, if you provide fresh fruits at the farmer's market, through the mobile vans, through the food hubs in those places, using the double-up bucks, where low-income families, for every dollar they spend at the farmer's market, they can get $2 worth of food. The studies show that these are extremely effective because low-income families actually use both their SNAP coupons, the double-up bucks, and they do purchase the fresh fruits when it is available to them. So the challenge in Michigan is really to get more people on SNAP to be able to have better access both to the healthy foods in the supermarket, but at the urban farms, at the farmers' markets, at the food stands. Our, you know, number one goal is to really see food insecurity disappear in a state like Michigan, where we do grow so much food. So ideally, if we could wave a magic wand, that would be our wish and hope, is to see, especially amongst children. We have a high rate of food insecurity amongst children in Michigan, and we really don't think that we should be in a state where children are going to bed hungry.
Professor Dorsetta Taylor is at the School of Natural Resources and Environment at the University of Michigan. On Wednesday, she'll be speaking about food insecurity in Sangren Hall at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. That presentation starts at 7:30. Professor Taylor, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.